We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, June 1st, 2022, to order at 8:45. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the roll to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Thiemann, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held May 18th, 2022. Approve all claims through June 1st, 2022 in the amount of $508,919.55. Accept claim number 2206-0096 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, in the amount of $468.75, and claim number 2206-0101, RL Team and Construction, Inc., in the amount of $46,735.33, to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specs and call for bids for highway striping. Bids to be opened July 1st, 2022 at 9:15 a.m. Approve canceling check number 21040018 in the amount of $100 and 22030138 in the amount of $140, both to Hull's Body Shop due to personal payment and insurance payment. Approve specs on ADA restroom remodel at the Extension Office and obtaining 3 quotes for said work.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Jurgens. Any discussion or items to discuss separately? Seeing none, I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 2206-0096 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, in the amount of $468.75 for material, and claim number 2206-0101 to RL Team and Construction, Inc., in the amount of $46,735.33 for gravel and trucking. This brings the total amount of claims approved through June 1st, 2022, to $556,123.63. These are both companies I'm affiliated with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jurgens, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
You abstained, didn't you?
Oops. 6 in favor with Thiemann and abstaining.
There we go.
Motion carries. Thank you. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights. Morning, Mr. Jones.
Morning, everyone. Morning. Good morning, Mr. Swavely.
How are you?
This takes me back a decade.
Isn't that true?
Now that the proposals or the specifications have been approved, I'll reach out and try and get, we'll get 3 quotes on restrooms out at the Extension Office. Things we talked about on last Friday, Brian from NERMA, he contacted White Castle Roofing up in Lincoln to come down. We did have an estimate on repairing the roof, and he wanted to get another estimate on the damage that was done from the windstorm way back in December. Proceed forward with that, hopefully. That bid is supposed to come in, or I should call it proposal, should come in soon. They thought maybe they'd have something for me yet today, but I haven't heard anything on that. So Lammo Plumbing has been over at the Sheriff's Department or Detention Center, and they did fix 2 shower stalls with just a very basic handle on the showers. We've always had trouble with the valve system where sand would get into there's sand in the water lines a lot of times, and if you get a little bit of sand in there, it messes up those Sloan valves. So they're just going with a real simple fix to kind of retrofit what they have there with just basic handles. So they've got 2 of those done, and they're going to continue to work on the rest. The air conditioner is down in the sheriff's deputy's basement offices. That went down on Friday, and unfortunately they need a part that they had to special order. So as of now, it is not going yet, but we are having some nice cool weather. So I'm going to get a bid on replacing some concrete in the driveway area. We had a piece over there that just the ice melt and everything is really eaten away at, so we'll have to replace some panels there. And mud jacking, I'm going to try and get a hold of somebody to mud jack right where the generator is. We've got a sloped piece of concrete that's leaning towards the building that really the water is coming in.
Did you happen to try?
I did try, and he sold it to somebody else, so I'll see if there is anybody local. Otherwise, I mean, I might have to go up to Lincoln.
Does Tony Busboom have one?
He does not.
There is a Pat that's local that does it.
Pardon?
Pat Beach.
Yeah, Tony sold it to Pat. So I'll check, and I don't know if Pat does it commercially.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to have him do some concrete on a bin, so he does have a couple years ago.
Okay, yeah, that's what I heard, that he sold it to
Pat. Do you have his number?
I can, yeah. Midwest Sprinkler came down and removed the two sprinkler heads that are in our old little lean-to shed over there on the north side. Talked to Sean Van Lanningham. He says he's getting close. He said this before, but he says next rainy day, but not this upcoming rainy day. He says he will be here. So we do have it all ready for him. And so hopefully we can get going with that. Vet's office, I did have kind of a surprise over there. We had a plumbing issue that was behind the wall, so I had to remove some counters and replace some drywall, but we got the leak fixed, and so that's looking good over there. And last is flags. They had a real good turnout for the taking down of the flags. A lot of people showed up, and it went really quick with these all-weather flags. They just seem like they're a lot easier to handle and fold. So, and it was extremely windy that day, so the north side were folded. The south side, they just took them, loaded them up, and took them down to the Legion to fold them down there. So all in all, I think it went really good. There was about three flags that blew off because the bungee broke. And then there were just a couple poles bent, not too many, but they really got a test of weather conditions between the rain and high winds, and they seemed to hold up pretty good through all that.
Looked really nice. We appreciate it, Dave.
They did, yes. That's all I had.
Any questions for Mr. Jones? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Equalization valuations went out today. I'm sure we'll start... We'll start seeing some protests, hearing from the public on that. As stated in equalization, Mr. Juergens is now the new equalization chair. Congratulations.
What a time.
This is perfect for you, though. Why do it when it's easy? Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. Beatrice Public Library funding request, $11,500. Nebraska Auditor audit, county audit, $20,723.28. Peru inmate medical insurance, $10,052. Road department, Beatrice concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $47,381.29. RLT Construction Incorporated, gravel and hauling, material and hauling, $46,735.33.
I was out at NERMA a couple days last week, Wednesday and Thursday, for a quarterly meeting, and rates are going up a lot. Liability insurance is going up almost everywhere. As we're reviewing our rates for this year, it looks like they're steady or have gone down some. We're going to increase our I'm sorry, we're going to decrease our deductibles on a couple items where we're just not getting any bang for the buck over a year's time. A partial claim would take the difference in, would make up the difference in premium. Mobile remote and then the building and contents. To cut our deductible from $1,000 to $500, it's a matter of several hundred dollars, or you know, a few hundred dollars over the year. The same way, looking at raising it to $2,500 or $5,000 deductible, it also doesn't make any sense dollars and cents wise here to double our deductible. We're only increasing a couple $1,000s. A single claim makes up for any of these. So we'll lower our deductibles, and our rate is going to be the same or less. The one thing that we are probably going to do is increase our cybersecurity from $2 million liability to $5 million liability, and that's at a cost of $2,300 a year. So for that amount of money, the coverage, I think it's well worth it. So a few changes there, but the reason our rates haven't gone up like a lot of others, of course, NERMA's balancing things back and forth, using some reserves to keep increases from going up as much, and then moving some things away around administratively. But Gage County specifically has done a really good job at risk mitigation. So the classes, the doing things correctly, the administering claims as well as possible has really helped us. So I've got to give the clerk's office credit for that, helping to keep the risk mitigation down. Other little tools like, there's just multiple things, how we deal with different claims. It all makes a difference. But that'll be a couple changes we'll make this year. But not a big increase like we were afraid. I thought that we would see somewhere in the area of 10%, possibly maybe 12, and it looks like we're going to be relatively the same with more coverage. Human resources, employee relations. Really haven't had any HR issues. I probably should turn this over to you, like human relations, start giving it to each of the chairs here. Law enforcement, emergency management. Mr. Lytle.
Lisa.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, by the way.
How are you?
So I'm going to talk on zoning first. I know on the agenda today you have the moratorium consideration. So zoning meets next Tuesday night at 7:30. We have a pretty full agenda. Right now we haven't completed the agenda, but we're very close. It will be posted by Friday. But on the agenda, we have solar regulations, and you all have been asking me how soon we will be complete. We're very, very close. So we were unable to meet last time just because of the three fire breakouts, so I didn't get quorum at that particular meeting, but we'll know more after next Tuesday's meeting. So again, anyone's welcome at that meeting, 7:30. Also on the agenda, we have JEO will be here on behalf of Lower Big Blue NRD on some clarification on verbiage for the dam breach areas, the high hazard areas, and comparing that to what maps that we're using right now in the floodplain. And then we also have a special use permit hearing for a recreational cabin in the Barnston. It's going to be on leased land, but the project is for Eric Engler on leased land owned by Don Schuler. So regardless, it had to come to a special use hearing. And then also clarification, Mark will be at that meeting also to talk about the floodplain area that it's going in and what kind of mitigation efforts will have to be done in order for the board to approve. And then we also have some conversations going on right now with the wellhead protection area. Gage County has 9 wellhead protection areas in our county with all the communities. However, The recent purchase of some real estate by the city of Beatrice may change that wellhead protection area. So clarifying, you know, the proper procedures as to when a, since it's in county jurisdiction, how the commission deals with applications and so forth coming in. So on the emergency management side of that, we have a dual department in our office. Tomorrow, we're hosting 14 counties over here for emergency management. So on our agenda will be the energy plan we have coming down. And then on Saturday, we are hosting the Red Cross is coming down to the fairgrounds to do a boot camp. And so that's to encourage individuals to start to help deploy to a fire situation to help get those individuals their resources. Currently, I'm doing that, but we're hoping to find some other individuals that will step forward to help with those resource programs. So questions? Yes.
Question on that wellhead protection area. So when the city buys that property and they decide they want to do that project, is it just notifying the landowners that they're going to be put into it, or does it give them a choice, or how does that work?
So, Emily, the county wasn't the one that sent out the land notifications to those individuals of the change. Olson Associates, on behalf of the city of Beatrice, was the ones that sent those landowners that notification. So we're trying, the county attorney's office is trying to clarify, as I understand, what the actual procedure is going to be for notifying, you know, and what standards we have to appeal to. Is it just giving us a map and then it's now quickly changed? Or what's our procedures going to be for a change of a map district?
Because, I talked to about five of those that I knew in that area.
Yep.
Only one out of the five had any idea what's happening.
Yeah, okay. I had heard the same thing, that no one knew anything about it, and that's always kind of scary
for
property owners.
Yep, it is.
Yep.
No, we and that's a good point too, Ms. Haxby. Just point of clarification: Lisa and the county had not been notified either. So that was the first notification you had was maybe 2 weeks ago.
It was probably been 3 weeks ago by a landowner that attended a meeting that was somewhat disappointed that the county wasn't involved, and I said we weren't informed of what was going on. So, but at that point, then communication started. So,
along with that, is that something then it's in our regulations? Does the county have any say if that's allowed or?
So again, clarifying, their county attorney is working on that clarification.
Basically, it's a participation situation in information. And that's, it's kind of like one step back now, and we'll get, Lisa's working with that too. Thank gosh the landowner let us know.
Right.
I think what, next, the 14th?
Yes.
They have the information.
So their next meeting.
We got an email on that, so we'll definitely be there.
What time is that, time and location?
So it's an open house setting. I believe I'll have to get back to you on the times.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's an open house setting, so it's an informational only. So just to also clarify that in our wellhead protection areas, we regulate and always have regulated animal units and also fuel storage. Those are the only two identifiable containments or contaminants, I should say, that we identify as a source. I did ask Olson Associates to identify those contaminant sources now that they consider within the wellhead protection area, and they have not gotten back to me on that. So, because certainly if they're asking for us, you know, to reconsider our regulations, that's a long process. So, but as our regulations are written right now, it's AUs and then also fuel storage. 1,000 gallons fuel storage in one bin has to have underground or the basin underneath, and then I think it's 300 AUs, so which one AU is 1,000 pounds.
There's also a natural gas power plant sitting right adjacent to that wellhead.
Ironically, that's not in the wellhead protection area.
It's not?
Mm-mm.
Does it just, like, completely cut that out?
Guessing because of eminence of domain, you know, that they practiced when they acquired, you know, it's not in there. So.
Mm.
Interesting. Yep. Okay. Any other questions? Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Build up, Gary.
Gus says he does not have anything.
It's nice of him to join us still.
I'm sure that he would like to request money for something, but...
There's a lot of stickers. A lot of sticker shock from last time he was here.
He's giving us a break?
I appreciate that, Eddie.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Yes, approved specs and call for bids on highway striping. New John Deere skid loader will be delivered 5/27 of 22. And if I remember correctly, the new John Deere track loader was delivered Friday, I think I was told. Other than that, 21 of 24 townships for gravel are completed. And I'm not misreading here, Dave, completed for the spring of 2021. So we're steadily working at it, as you can see in the claims, to get caught up. Roads were a little messy during that slow 3-day rain, but they've all shaped up pretty good. That's it.
Columbus, have, I know Friday we talked just a little bit. Didn't you say you were going to be talking to them or they were wanting to talk to you?
I've conveniently not called them back because it's sounding like they're bidding a lot of big projects. They did increase their price after the bid already. They increased their price before the bid substantially from last year, and then they've increased it since again. I wonder if that's what it's about, but I have not talked to them yet. I'm nervous that that might be a bad conversation as far as supply. I also hadn't talked to our new supplier in Hollenburg to see if the rumors were true there. I had heard that equipment was going to be moving out of there because there wasn't enough production. So I hope that's not right, but I've heard it a couple places now. Alex is keeping up, though, well, Mark said. That's a plus. That's our wash supply. And is Alex in Thayer or Jefferson, Thayer County? They have not fired up the Powell pit yet, but the good thing is that's the dry screen gravel. The good thing is the washed gravel that's relatively close is being produced at a good rate. Mark's out ill today. Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, we'll go out of Road and Bridge and we'll end committee meetings at 9:08. Nicholas Andrews is on the agenda, but if none of you are Nicholas Andrews, we'll move on. Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to approve or disapprove recommendation of Don Esau as the manager for the Gage County Agricultural Society. I don't know, Lisa, if you want to give anything on this, or?
Well, I have a feeling we did
find it, but I thought we did. But yeah, they said they didn't.
Like, I remember coming up and saying Roger Hendricks was past president.
I know,
and Steve.
They don't have it, so I'm.
Maybe we didn't have
remember.
It again. So.
I don't remember having Don on.
We did. But just anyway, yes, he is currently our Gage County Ag Society president, and will hold the name on the liquor license that we apply for. So.
Oh, I do remember talking about that.
Yeah.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove resolution 22-08. extending the moratorium on commercial solar permits until the regulations have been reviewed and approved by the Gage County Board. And I'll read this, and the copies you have do say 21, but the one up here, if this passes, it has been corrected to 22. Be it resolved by the Gage County Board that a moratorium on accepting any commercial solar energy farm applications is hereby invoked and approved and shall be in place until such time that the Planning and Zoning Commission has had time to conduct public meetings, including but not limited to public hearings in direct regards to current and potential changes in regulations pertaining to commercial solar energy farms, and to further allow time for any potential changes to be passed on to the Gage County Board of Supervisors for review, approval, or disapproval, with the same previously mentioned considerations as allowed for the planning and allowed for to the Planning and Zoning Commission. If this would pass, this would basically be similar to what we did to wind farms. It would put a halt on allowing permits to come in until after P&Z has time to finish review on the regulations that they have, as well as once their public hearing goes through and a final vote, allow the Gage County Board to also review, have our public hearings and a vote, so that whatever permits would come in would be under the regulations approved by the county. Currently, the regulations that we have in the county are, there aren't any regulations for solar farms.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, though, that would be for commercial, correct?
Commercial solar only.
Because individual solar, you did not, you allowed us to continue to take those permits. And that's basically those units that are on top of shops or attached in some way, or anything under 25 megawatts, or kilowatts, actually.
I think we changed that last time, right, Lisa? Yeah, took that solar. Yeah, it is reading only commercial in here, since we don't have any regulations.
This one would be the same as what it was, only with the time frame change, basically. And I don't know, did P&Z talk about that at all? Or, I mean, is there any opinion from P&Z as far as allowing
the moratorium?
Time?
Nope. Their opinion is they're plugging along, getting done as fast as that they can. So
I think the last time we extended it 6 months.
Yeah, I don't look for that to happen again. I think it's a matter of due process. Hopefully we can have a final review. We did get some suggestions back from, or some questions from Norris Public Power on our existing. Hopefully by early fall, we're ready to move to you, you know, with the recommendations from a hearing. So that's what I hope so.
When does it expire?
This one doesn't have a set. This one doesn't. Oh, our current regulation, yes. This one doesn't have an expiration on it. It would just go until we would vote on it. Last time, as soon as we voted on wind regulations, I believe the same meeting, we took off a moratorium on permits. I guess I'll open it to the board for discussion. I tried to give a brief overview of that. Not so brief, kind of brief.
I think it'd be a good idea to have regulations in place before accepting permits. So I'd like, and this is just cleaner. It's not giving a date. It's just going to say it's going to be lifted as soon as we have our regulations in place, and then it's done. So I'd move to approve this.
Second.
A motion by Haxby, second by Dorn, to approve Resolution 22-08. Any additional discussion on this?
I guess I'm somewhat concerned that we don't have a deadline date. Do you have on the others? Just leave it. I think we should have just expressing an opinion. I'm not necessarily indifferent about it. Just something that crosses my mind.
And I mean, we can add a deadline date to it. It would just be an amendment to the motion. The the thought before was we were kind of shooting in the dark. When might P&Z get things together? They had some unforeseen circumstances that came up, which, along with being volunteers on P&Z, some of the same members had massive wind damage and other things. It kind of takes away from their time. Some of the members are rural firefighters. We've had crazy fires this year, just some unforeseen things. I wouldn't be opposed to any date either. We really don't know when we'll wrap this up. Of course, once P&Z gets the regulations together, they'll schedule for a hearing. That'll be at least 2 weeks, if not 3 to 4 weeks out from when they schedule it. Then there will be the public hearing. They may or may not vote at that meeting. And then once they do have a final vote, it'll go to us for the discussion. Once again, we'll have to advertise for a public hearing. That'll be 2 to 4 weeks generally. And then we wouldn't vote at that public hearing. We would generally vote a couple of weeks later at the soonest. So when Lisa says fall, we've broke into a new month today. It's realistic. It could be August before we see anything. I mean, or for your public hearing, August is even realistic.
I would look at August being the soonest, just because a review next week, July, most likely not going to move with the public hearing. Probably give it that 30 days notification to get it out a couple times in the public. And then, my goal would be August, honestly. But
so we could easily roll over into 23, calendar year 23.
Gosh,
before,
yeah.
Well, before we're done, it's possible if
it's possible, anything's possible. If you have controversy, the commission is taking its time. You know, they're following a lot of the same concerns. It still boils down to setbacks. Hearing public opinion on setbacks.
Can you give us any update on what you've seen for setbacks, or is it too early to...
Anything from 100 feet to, 3/4 of a mile.
That's a pretty good range,
yeah,
Lisa.
So that is a big range, It really is. It depends upon the size of the operation, so... But.
Can we go another 6 months?
There's no we have to wait. There's no we have to be done by this time. I mean, it's arbitrary. If we want to go 6 months, we can easily do 6 months also.
I think it's the whole idea with the time frame on this was just to bring it back up so you could keep tabs on what was going on, not to put pressure on P&Z or anything like that. Now, you could probably accomplish the same thing with the group by having Don put it on the calendar for December to see where, check status. Just put it on the agenda. The resolution says you absolutely have to talk about it, because it's going to be gone. So that's just another option for you to do.
Ms. Haxby, I'm sorry.
Well, and this isn't saying it's 12 months. It's not saying it's 8 months. Heck, it could be 5 months. It's just saying that when they're voted in place, it's done. I think it's just easy. We can check on it, like Roger said, over time.
And that's what it would be otherwise, a renewal. I guess it gets rid of a renewal. I see what Mr. Schuler's saying, though. It's also floating this out there. What if we never address it again? I am sure that with this motion, the intent is not to push this off and not address it. It is to keep it on our plate and keep looking at it and try to move forward as quickly as possible. I'm going to say that I assume that's the intent, and I mean, that would be my intention. No, we should, but we wouldn't have to. Any additional discussion or comment? Moratoriums are always tough. All right. If there's no further comment or discussion, I would ask you, we have a motion by Haxby, second by Dorn. I would ask you to vote on Resolution 22-08. 6 in favor, with Mr. Schuler voting no. Motion carries. I would ask again for Mr. Andrews, Nicholas Andrews?
Yes.
All right. Nicholas Andrews will have a presentation on workforce housing for the county.
I don't know if there's any other business yet to conduct. I have an associate who's on his way.
We do not. We fast track today.
Okay. Well, I might take one moment to give him a call and see if he'd be available over the phone and have when he's ready for this portion.
That'd be great. Anything else for the good of the order from the board?
We could take a bathroom break.
Just say, why don't we just.
We will recess at 9:20 on the clock.
Eddie had to go already anyway, so the intersection is with.
We'll reconvene at 9:36 on the clock.
Yeah. It's a block south of there.
Okay.
Right on the corner.
Okay.
Good. And I will.
Big damn corner lot with a lot of grass.
Guess he went to the other room.
There's nothing wrong with that. I love yards. Okay.
Oh.
I do. I just don't have time to take care of these problems.
We don't know what this is. I don't know what the program or anything is.
They
I just hope Dave makes it. Again?
No.
Second time.
12 years. Been 12 years since you were on.
Oh,
is that right?
Yes, I think.
Yeah.
No, that'll be fine.
No.
Okay.
2000.
I'll introduce Mr. Andrews. If you could give your name and address for the record, and then are the girls calling in, or are we going to call
in? Yeah, he should
here?
Be calling in here momentarily. Right.
But, yeah, if you could give your name and address for the record, we'll get started.
Yep. Nicholas Andrews, and the business or my personal address?
Either.
The business is at 4350 South 103rd Lane in Adams, Nebraska.
All right, you have the floor, sir.
Would be able to make sure the gentleman's on the phone before officially starting. Is that okay?
He's not scoring any points being late.
I don't disagree. You guys are very efficient here.
I was waiting for Terry to.
I'm relaxed today.
You okay?
I know. I got wore out yesterday.
I say, had decaf this morning instead of the regular.
Did you hear that he said we were efficient?
Well, and you know that it's probably not real accurate.
Nicholas, what was the name of the company you're representing?
Yeah, so I am here with City County Solutions. And I do have everything I'm basically going to roll over today on a PowerPoint presentation that I'd be happy to send over to whomever so you have it on file.
If you'd send that to Don, that'd be great.
Yep, you bet.
Did you take?
I didn't count. I enjoy one.
We do without.
I have a question to ask you. I don't know if you looked up.
Probably when you get one, you never want to go.
Go back. I just listened.
That's right.
I don't know if you have them.
Quote unquote, the agreement. Tobias was talking about splitting.
There's not much. I don't want to tell anybody about it because it might not be enough for me.
You're going to say, man.
Yeah, there's.
We got
problems.
I don't know. I've been asking. Yeah, but he's more particular than I am.
I mean, that's why I trust him.
I would gladly enjoy that.
I would too.
You'll see what I'm praying.
So. I don't take anything.
I'm in a shop in the back of the house. And the garage next to it.
That's unfortunate.
I feel bad, but you gotta wait for us.
It's unfortunate.
I don't want all the cases to appear again.
But, I mean, it's like, but I wanted to make sure.
Which is why you have to have the signs up.
You guys would be right. I don't tend to smooth talk stuff.
I didn't even have done it.
If we show up, there's no
way. And it's really bad.
Where'd you get that at?
Help us. Awesome. It cost us $30 million.
Really?
No, yeah. That's they knew it the whole time.
It's the third go-round?
Bruce knew it the first time he read it.
Yeah. Okay.
This would be 12 years this January.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
It was fast.
But if that's all,
what's he doing?
I'm recovering.
Is there anything you can move along on while we're waiting?
Yep, we'll go ahead and start rolling, and hopefully he will
We've
be
got
in
20 minutes in now.
Momentarily. All right. So again, my name is Nicholas Andrews, and I'm here with City County Solutions. And just to give you an idea of what it is that we do and what our kind of goal is to empower local government through consulting services and software solutions. So specifically, what I'm here to speak with you all today is housing, in particular, rural housing, as it pertains to Gage County. One of the most significant challenges facing rural America right now is proper housing. And there's a myriad of different reasons for that. The first is just simply housing inventory. There isn't a significant amount of new builds. A lot of houses are aging, there isn't an inventory that suffices. There's also a lack of quality rentals. One of the biggest things right now is affordability. The reality of going in and your average person able to put down 20% on a home is just not what it used to be. Housing prices are just significantly more than they used to be, and the traditional mortgage program just doesn't work for a large portion of the population, especially when we talk about the population that we are really honed in on trying to help out, and that is the workforce population. So those people who are working hourly wages of anywhere between $18 and $25 an hour. They just can't put that kind of money back in order to put down the 20% for a traditional mortgage. So the other part is if they can't afford cash for a down payment of a house that already exists, they certainly can't afford new construction financing. In addition to that, because there isn't a whole lot of new builds going on, appraisals are often difficult, especially in much smaller communities, you know, such as Wymore and Holmesville, Diller, Wilbur, and Claytonia. And the last piece is identifying the prospects. Again, going back to the fact that most people view home ownership as something that's outside of their grasp and outside of their reach, they don't even really take the steps to move forward to try to figure out how they could get into their own home. So what we offer is we partnered with an entity out of Iowa who's doing something very similar to this, is a comprehensive plan that's community-specific and replicable. And what we do is not just do another housing study. What we want to do is come in and do a full assessment. That's the first step. Moving on from there, we have prospecting, program development, and lastly, implementation. So the first question might be, why are we starting with the county? Well, the biggest reason is because housing is often a regional problem. It's not specific to one set of community. So by taking a county approach, it allows us to see kind of the larger picture. And additionally, we're able to identify all the assets and the opportunities in the regional area. And because we do this, it allows each community the opportunity to benefit. It allows each community within the county to benefit. So to kind of roll through each step of that process that I mentioned, which is, of course, assessment, prospecting, program development, and implementation. So the first step is assessment. So what we're going to do is determine the type of housing needs that currently exist. So whether that's own, rent-to-own, transitional housing, taking the opportunity to see what really the needs are within the county. From there, we get to just very black and white, you know, what is the lot inventory, what's available to kind of jump in and build on right away. And then we also, my associate, who hopefully will be on the phone here shortly, is a consultant that we work with who has significant experience. He's a lawyer and has served as a city manager for a number of years, and he's worked on a number of these projects. And he's...
Which number? Hello, do you want to give your name and address for the record? Mr. Andrews is just going over things now.
Sure. My name is Clint Fichter, and my address is 601 North Chestnut Street in Avoca, Iowa.
Thank you.
which was good timing. So Clint has a really strong knowledge of city and county tools that are available that oftentimes are overlooked or just not understood, and he's very creative in figuring out how to utilize those tools to have the public sector assist in providing housing. And lastly is identifying local partners, and specifically what we're going to be looking at there is who are the employers in the area, who is most likely to benefit. What we found is turnover when it comes to employment. If a person lives within 25 miles of the place that they work, they're significantly more likely to stay in that area and much less likely to move for a small raise or something like that if they're in a rental or something to that nature. Additionally, we want to work with local builders as much as possible, local real estate agents. Our focus, again, is to make this a system and a comprehensive plan that's replicable, that once we've gone through it with a community, they're able to do it on their own again, which, of course, we can make ourselves available to continue on with consulting as needed. But it's the idea of giving them the tools and showing them how to work the process so that they can continue to do it themselves. Once we get past the assessment, we start prospecting. And that's a process of generating leads for housing, processing candidates for mortgages, and establishing a homeowner pipeline. And one of the biggest components of this is we, in partnership with the entity out of Iowa, really look at what's available through FHA, USDA mortgages, because again, they're the ones that this workforce population, which is kind of the bread and butter, that's the focal point of who we want to make sure we're providing housing. Clint often refers to them as the missing middle. Usually those USDA loans, those FHA loans, are often cumbersome and confusing, and it's very challenging for just your layperson to work through. And oftentimes rural bankers, because of the amount of paperwork, effort, and processing that goes into applying for those loans, simply don't have that as a large part of their business. Now, that being said, we would be happy to partner with any banker who would be potentially interested or is already doing these loans.
Do you charge anything for working on those loans?
So part of the prospecting and the generating leads is when we do the first part, the assessment, we want to make sure we're contacting and getting the information of who the employers in the area are. And so once we shift into the prospecting, there is additional fees, because all we're really working towards right now today is to discuss the possibility of starting the assessment. That's step one, and that's where we want to initiate. From there, prospecting and program development is when we start going directly to the communities and working with them, and that's where we kind of push them to kind of get financial skin in the game, because you as the county have already, in an ideal situation, took care of the assessment, which takes a lot of the initial fees off of them. And so what we do is we come in and we do presentations for those employers to their employees, and that's our first step in really starting to generate those prospects. So yes, there is a small fee associated with that, but mostly is any time that we're able to process a USDA loan or an FHA loan, we receive a percentage of that, and that's primarily where our compensation comes from the prospecting side of things. And the major focus and really why prospecting is a key component of this whole planning is our goal is always to ideally, each time we open up construction on a new home, it's already done on contract because we have a pipeline of people who are already interested in purchasing a home, and we put them through the process to get them approved for that mortgage. And that's a big key to how the system all works. So it's the planning, it's the assessment, and then the prospecting when that kicks in, so that we ensure that everybody that's involved in this can feel confidence because we have buyers. And oftentimes in rural areas, the biggest challenge is a misunderstanding of capacity. So a perfect example is there is a brand new apartment complex going up right here in town. And to my understanding, a significant number of those doors are already filled. The reality is a lot of those people will hopefully have the opportunity to transition to be homeowners in the area, thus giving them more stability and their employers more confidence and lower turnover. And then it cycles things through. The next person will come into an apartment and so on and so forth. But one of the biggest things that's missed is an understanding of what true capacity is, because when we start talking to employers, what we often find is they have the ability to hire significantly more people, but there's no place for them to live. We've heard stories of people living in campers out on rural areas and farmland and whatnot, just simply because there's no housing available, and specifically the type of housing we discussed before, you know, quality housing for new ownership, transitional housing, and so on and so forth. So that prospecting becomes a significant part of the process once we establish the information we find with the assessment, and the assessment really helps us to get an understanding of what capacity is. And that's when we can speak intelligibly to the community and not kind of come in, you know, blowing smoke and putting out unrealistic expectations, but instead we can come with them confidently with an understanding of what capacity is and what availability there is for potential new homeowners. And all of that leads into the program development, which is where we take the information we found from the assessment and then prospecting as well, and giving housing type recommendations. And this is one of the big keys as well with that prospecting is we're going to hopefully sign these homes up for construction already on contract, but a big part of that is understanding what our buyer pool is. If we have buyers who are only going to be able to be financed for $250,000, then we focus our construction on those types of homes. From there, we identify opportunities. So, for instance, if there's different areas where there's ground to potentially be developed, and there's option for something outside of just infill lots and lots available within the community, we're hopefully going to be able to identify those strategic partners through the assessment process, and then potentially be able to execute on those opportunities once we go through the program development. Then we also want to make sure we're doing financial analysis and economic impact estimates. One of the biggest things that's going to happen if you bring more people into community, childcare becomes a huge, huge component of that, and how that's going to be addressed. And that's one of those types of things that we're going to make sure we review during the program development. And Clint himself actually has significant experience establishing daycares and doing things like that and being able to utilize public funds to help support and assist those things. And all that comes together to design a comprehensive community-specific plan to improve the housing market, with the last component being implementation. And what that basically means is CC Solutions, City-County Solutions, becomes a partner with the community to execute the identified program and provide ongoing consultative services as needed. So that's the vast majority. I do want to kind of hand it over to Clint because I know he has a few things he wants to kind of have for questions, and then also at that point just open it up for general questions.
Mr. Victor? Hello?
Sorry, I'm muted so you didn't get any background noise from me.
Oh, gotcha.
Thank you for the time and the opportunity to speak with you. Greatly appreciate it. I wanted to just kind of ask a few questions just so I can try to understand what's going on in Gage County and where you guys have been. I was wondering specifically if you had looked at, and this could be like as a county entity through your economic development partners, maybe something the cities have going on there, but is there any active workforce housing type of development going on in Gage County right now?
Yes, the apartment building that Mr. Andrews talked about, that was based off of a study that was done by a housing assessment that was done by Hannah Keelan approximately 2 years ago. That was a countywide assessment that looked at workforce, what was available for lots, the availability of homes, availability of apartments, rentals, new. That followed a housing assessment that was done 4 to 5 years earlier, which resulted in the demolition of the Beatrice Hospital and new duplexes and houses being built there. Both of those were done by Engage. I was listening through here through the prospecting and the setting up of USDA and FHA loans. We currently receive that service free to all county members through Southeast Nebraska Development District. They do dozens of those as well as owner-occupied rehabs where they take those USDA grants and no down payment loans and put those in the hands of the working people that can't necessarily afford that. But, yeah, it seems that we have a housing assessment every 3 to 8 years. We do another one.
Cool. And what about out in the is it mainly located in Beatrice, or has progress gotten out into the other towns in the county?
Beatrice has benefited from it some. I'd say primarily this in the last study led to that apartment complex. I think it's a 76-plex, if I remember right, 72-plex. The previous one was the hospital demo and then duplexes and some homes being built there. One approximately, I'm guessing here, but approximately 12 years ago led to a new housing development being built on the east side of town. That's kind of the Beatrice direct results. In rural Gage, Wymore, Blue Springs, even now Liberty, Pickerel, they've benefited from some of the USDA loans and programs that are put in place from SEND.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad that you guys have things going on. It's easier to start where there's things happening. Using our methods differ a little bit from what you're talking about in that we focus heavily on the buyer and prospect side, like Nicholas was explaining, and try to develop more of a scope of like who the buyers are, what they need, that kind of thing, and then back into an understanding of where the housing market should be. It could build off of the work that you've already done, and I think what my experience has been, and just to tell you a little bit about me quick, is I was a city manager for a long time, 15 years or so, and I've been a city attorney. I work in public finance as a bond counsel and municipal advisor, primarily setting up community development projects and housing projects. And what I have seen is, upwards of tenfold increases in housing starts and, new builds, that kind of thing, growth, by focusing on the prospecting portion of this, like we were saying, really rooting out who could be buyers, and then trying to develop construction revolving loan funds for new construction. If you're able to do that, that's the primary hurdle. It's a bigger hurdle than down payment and mortgage issues. Those two things together, I have seen dramatically increase the amount of housing that can be built. Because you're focusing on what's really there and trying to help people get into the opportunities that they need and can afford, really. So that's I think the main difference in what we had discussed is that.
How many new home starts have you had in the last 12 months? Or how many loans have you processed in the last 12 months?
So on the construction side, we have the capacity to do mortgages. We treat our mortgage side as kind of a supplement. So what we do is we look at your house. So just to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of it, I don't want to repeat things Nicholas said, but what we try to do is work with the housing market as a whole. So the realtors, the construction industry, your local employers that have demand for workers that you know, maybe they can't house, or there's issues where they have retention problems because of there's not local housing and people look for jobs that are closer to them, you know, things like that. We've talked with our local, your local banks, all the local stakeholders that care about housing, and work with them to try to have the housing market function better, basically. You know what I mean? And there is pieces of that in our mortgage program that we treat as a supplement. So, you know, across the Midwest, you know, it would be a few hundred mortgages. We have builds in lots of communities and doing studies in the majority of the state of Missouri. We have some in Florida, North Dakota, Iowa. You know, this would be our first one in Nebraska. You know, primarily what our work is could be broken up into three different areas. There's the study component, like we're talking about, and that's where we kind of get an understanding of what, you know, can be done. And then there's our mortgage pieces, which helps the prospects that can't find local solutions through our work with the local stakeholders. And then we have our just direct construction, where we can facilitate builds, and we have investors who can do large scale developments. Like, you know, we just last week I was down in Florida. We got awarded a 1,100 unit development down there in rural Florida. So, you know, what we try to do is we have a very extensive network and a group of people who with a variety of backgrounds. So we can deal with your housing issues at kind of whatever your interest is or goals are, and start small, build up to it, you know, that kind of thing.
Have you reviewed our current assessment?
I believe there was.
No, I have not. I would love to.
We haven't reviewed it yet.
Have you contacted Engage at all, our local development group?
I believe we have been in touch with Engage. We haven't set up a formal meeting yet.
Because they can kind of fill you in on some of the child care programs that are going on right now as well. I guess if the board has any questions, jump in. Otherwise, I would ask, is there anything you want from us then? Or do you
essentially what we're coming to the county for, in our hopes, would be that you would go ahead and move forward with the assessment part of the process. So we view this as a multi-step process, as I mentioned. The first step is the assessment, which the fees for that is $25,000. Our hope is that the county would be willing and interested in moving forward with doing the assessment piece of it. And once that is completed, then we will be approaching each community within the county in order to basically propose our findings and let them know and communicate to them what their opportunity is based upon that assessment. And at that point, we would move forward with them specifically for the prospecting and the program development and setting up with them directly. But this allows and affords us the opportunity to, again, look at more of a regional focus and be able to get a clear picture of what capacity is, what opportunity is. And again, we will be able to see what's available throughout the entirety of the county as opposed to focusing on just one single community. And once we have the information, we will progress forward ideally with some county support, seeing that you would already be invested into it, to speak with those communities directly to take the next steps with prospecting and program development.
With us just funding a study through Engage, what would if we'd buy off on something like this, what would our benefit be after just doing something so similar?
So I'll answer
kind of how I see it, and then allow Clint to kind of speak to it as well. One of the biggest parts is going to be engaging those strategic partners. So getting in touch with employers, it's going to go just beyond what's available for lots. And again, also we're going to be able to get an opportunity to see what the housing market is from the buyer side, knowing what the pool is that we have to work with. And again, that really gives us a clear picture of what type of housing should be going up. That way, no one's ever building house on spec or doing things like that, and then a house that was built and is expecting $350,000 that no one's going to buy. And additionally, we're going to look at other partners in the area who may be interested. I know we have a couple people here that do have some property that they would potentially be interested in developing. And through the program development that Clint's going to have, which is further in the process, we're able to look at different ways to do that strategically that helps both the cities and the counties.
Through investment partners?
Through investment partners and potentially public funds, which with Clint's vast experience as in the city and county space, he knows a lot of ways to utilize public funds for that. And Clint, if you want to speak to, you know, what the differentiation between the assessment versus the housing study they may have done.
Yeah, so I would say the primary difference is that the housing assessment that you've done is very good work. It would be something that we would look at and utilize. And if there was some information in there that we could reduce our scope, I think that would be, there'd be potential for that. But the key that I think that you would see out of what we do is we're market participants in housing. So we understand the housing market well and can analyze really what's not working in it and try to uncover what your demand really is. That's the hardest part about public-private partnerships in housing is a lot of times what we focus on is the capacity side of the local government or the community, what lots are available, what people want, what kind of developments they think are key. But they don't talk to the people who are actually potentially going to move there. You know, and that's a lot of work. It is. So what we try to do is we start out with our focus. You know, you're an ideal situation because you've looked at some of those other things and there's more additional information there. But we want to talk to the people who are within your trade area and really try to identify where they are in terms of what they need for an opportunity. And work with the local people that you've mentioned, and we will. What I can tell you would come out of it with would be a very strong understanding of what your real demand is from a market perspective, and what that demand is in terms of housing types, price points, ownership structures. We get into things like rent to own, owner occupied, rent. You know, there's different strategies, transitional. There's different strategies that you can pursue for each one of those. And then project development. So our goal is to come out of this with new housing for you, tax base, that kind of thing, and have it be broad-based, because what I have found is I'm primarily a rural person. You know, I work in rural communities all over. And what I find is that you'll probably get into this and realize that you have a lot of capacity out in the county, out in the maybe unincorporated areas, maybe in the smaller communities that don't have as much efforts going on, and you can utilize their capacity, get more broad-based growth in your county, see more people win, and that's kind of what we try to do is use what you have, your local resources, your local people, and maximize it to the greatest extent possible with the goal being projects and pulling those off. And we have the capability to do that. And, you know, Nicholas was talking about some of the stuff I do. You know, we would get into your SIDs, your tax increment financing districts, those kind of things. I don't think we necessarily need money from you to do that. I think we're asking for that for the study. But what we would try to do going forward would be put together projects based off of using local tools that are available, investor funds, good hard data that can justify investors coming to your area if it's necessary, and see new houses built.
As you're talking through this, I think you might have the cart in front of the horse, because a lot of the things you're bringing up aren't available to counties. LB 840, TIF, I mean TIF, things like that. We don't even have those at our disposal. From what I hear, you really need to study what's been done already to try to update yourselves on our area. As far as the assessment implementation, we've had that investment come in. We do need more investment in the area. If there are some specific projects or something you want to look at, I think it'd be a hard sale to the board to pay for another assessment that we've just done. That sounds, I mean, everything I've written down, I could have darn near carboned this off a Hannah Keelan study. I would, and I'm not saying that yours wouldn't be above and beyond that, but I would really suggest looking at the last study, going over that with Engage, perhaps getting in touch with SEND, and going over that, because a lot of those programs are already in place, unless I'm really missing something.
We could have some conversations and get back to you on that, because I don't know either, to be honest with you, on what they've all done and not. I do know they haven't worked with prospects, because that's not part of a standard housing study, and I think that that's the most important part of it. But, you know, I'd be more than happy to do some work and get back to you on stuff if you wanted this too.
I think that'd probably be the most appropriate, Mr. Juergens.
My only question is, with the high cost of materials right now and probably the continued higher interest rates we'll be seeing down the road, how viable is this right now?
Could you hear that, Mr. Victor?
Yes, I could. That's a great question. So, really, in times where there is more difficulty, and right now is like that for sure, that's when this kind of work is more important. So, when you think about it, there's going to be housing demand no matter what. And there's going to be ways to fill that demand. For instance, what we're looking at in some other communities is incorporating this rent-to-own model that's very popular in metro areas right now. I say, you know, rent-to-own communities or rental communities, but different types of housing than we would typically associate with rental, you know, single-family detached type stuff. I don't know if that would work in your area, but I do know if we can prospect people and see, you know, what you'll have in a typical housing study is they'll use things like census data and whatnot, which is okay, but it's not actually people on the ground. It's not their budgets. It's not their information. You got to uncover that and find out, you know, where your growth is so you can continue to grow. I think that in a hard time like that, having those conversations, doing hard work out in the community is really important, because people are going to be a little scared. And if you wait for times to get good, you may lose 5 years. You know, that wouldn't be out of the question. What I've seen in the past has been, whether it's infrastructure or housing or whatever, whenever public agencies that have an interest, because you do have an interest in housing, and there are things that we could do with the county or with the cities, depending on where we end up at. and you may want to look at this as a partnership with the communities too. What we'll find is that if in hard times when they have taken time off, they get behind on infrastructure, they get behind on growth, and trying to work through hard times is really important. And I think that having better information, working out in the market, trying to get the market to work together as good as possible, to identify prospects, sizing houses for them, giving them different tools, whether it be through investor models or whatnot, that kind of work can get you your, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5% growth where you may not get that. You may get a fraction of that if you don't keep engaged. That would be the main difference that I see. Keeping engaged is so important. And you will see some bills. You will see those things. They will happen just because it kind of has to, because there's a demand for solutions and it will go elsewhere if you don't. So that's the primary thing I see.
Okay, well, I would suggest you guys talk to Engage. They can fill you in on what has been done or what hasn't been done, any viability here. I would also encourage you to talk to SEND. That's a 15-county region that works together. I know there's programs going on right now through them in Seward, York, like I say, multiple villages Engage. Where it sounds very similar, you know, there's no use duplicating things. We do that a lot of times in government. We spend money to do the same thing five times. We're in the private world. That's called bankruptcy. I would encourage you to review some of that information, and then if you have something different or specific that you'd like to look at with us, we're always happy to look at those things. But a lot of that is focused through Engage so that the county and the city aren't doing separate things, or you know, Cortland and Beatrice aren't doing things that don't complement each other.
Right.
A lot of this, so as I've taken notes, like I say, I could almost carbon this off of what we were told on the Hannah Keelan study. Part of that they did, part of that was done by other members, such as Engage on the lining up the home builders or the developers or the, like I say, this apartment came out of that last housing assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right that we need to move forward with development all the time. If there are outside investors that want to invest in a housing project in rural Gage or near Beatrice, that's definitely fantastic. If there's anything we can help with that, we would steer that towards Engage or myself, and I'll take that to Engage, or they'd be happy to work with you. There's been multiple projects that have happened like that. But it sounds like you guys need to study some of what's been done before we would even start something like this. I guess I don't know if there's any other comment from the board. That's just my opinion. But if you guys, I'm getting some nods as I look around, Mr. Victor. If you guys would like to study what's been done, I would steer you to Engage and SEND specifically to kind of review some of the programs and such in place. I think it would be hard for you guys to give us any idea of what needs done or what doesn't need done without doing that initial study. Or homework, I should say, in that study.
No, we'll definitely reach out to Engage and get a meeting set up, hopefully here shortly, so we'd be able to come back and speak more to what's already been done.
Another viable partner would be Tobias Templemeyer, the city manager here in Beatrice.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be abreast to everything that's currently going on. Also, he sits in on all our Engage meetings, or most all of our Engage meetings, as well as he has a relationship with SEND also.
Okay.
But we appreciate you coming to present to us.
Absolutely.
Yep. Mr. Swively?
Yep.
Any comments from the board? That's our last day.
You bet. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sirs.
Yes, thank you, guys.
I'll sign you off then, Mr. Victor.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, I would ask for a motion. I want to welcome Mr. Swavely. We didn't officially welcome you. Sworn in yesterday morning at 8:30 and feet to the fire already this morning at 8:30. So welcome aboard. We look forward to working with you. With that, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Schuler to adjourn at 10:20 on the clock. Please vote. 7 in favor. We're adjourned at 10:20.
That's unusual.